Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's You Better You Bet with Ken Barkley and Nick Ashew on BetQL.
Ashew and Fracassos. Ken Barkley dancing away. Usually gets to around this time in the show, I think, when the music starts to really kick in for you. That's when you get the blood flowing just a little bit.
Caffeine for 2 hours. I've been caffeinated for literally. You see the green straw, the green Starbucks straw come in from time to time.
There you go. And you can see that on Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL, if you want to watch Ken dance or drink his coffee or whatever, pick his nose. If he ends up picking his nose, I mean, that can happen.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Hey, listen, man, it's just another enticing thing for people to see if they go watch us on Twitch. That's the whole point. It's the future. Mm-hmm. We were talking about MVP earlier, and you had, I think, a really smart and honestly a formula that I do agree with in terms of the way to look at the market and where we are right now in the NBA. Because it is so wide open. And, you know, if you're looking at college basketball right now, Baylor, a couple of losses recently now, we're looking at them from, they were the number one team in the country, and where are they right now? What's the score right now? Hold on, because they were playing West Virginia. Why is my mouse not moving? There you go. Baylor's up 19-12 on West Virginia.
It's always a good sign.
Right now, So where are you right now in terms of who wins the national championship? Where we're sitting, we got Gonzaga at +650 and Baylor 7-1, Duke +750, Purdue at 9-1 at Bet Rivers right now.
I think we've figured out, as we always do by this point, I think we figured out a lot of who the good teams are. Of course we have.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, it was, played 20 games, 15 games for a lot of these teams. I think we're going to have a pretty good idea of who the elite teams are. And we have, as in addition to the games, we also have like services like KenPom and like what Bart Torvik does. And it's just the people that are making publicly available analysis of college basketball that makes everybody smarter. That's also going to give us a really good idea of who the good teams are at this point. So it's not that there's some grand like mystery yet to be uncovered. Like we got, like Gonzaga's really good. Baylor's really good. Duke's really good. Auburn, a team like before the year, maybe we didn't think it was going to be that good, but is really, really good. We figured that out already. We figured out Purdue is as good as we thought, maybe even a little bit better. So it's not like there's a lot left to be revealed. But once we start getting to especially like the halfway mark, not in terms of time, but of games played in the season, once we get into conference play and give it a couple weeks, I start to just look a little bit at team profiles and okay, like who are the most likely projected ones and twos who will have very easy paths in the tournament versus other seeds? Who are teams right now that, for whatever reason, haven't performed this year, either don't have the record or the efficiencies or whatever, conference record that, has what sort of held them back? Are there a few teams that fit that profile where like maybe they're kind of as good as the teams that all the teams I just mentioned or close to being as good, but for whatever reason, they haven't quite been, and can they kind of get back on track to be like those teams by the time we get to the end of the season? Because like if you're showing up and you're like, I really want it, like I love Duke and I want to bet Duke to win the national title, Duke 750, they're gonna be 750 when you get to the first weekend of the tournament. Like that's just, it's the way the futures market works. They'll probably be higher than that, honestly. It's crazy once the bracket comes out, all of these favorites are actually boosted in price because now we actually know the exact probabilities on each matchup that's potentially in front of them. And what we find out is that none of these teams should actually be like 6-1 or 7-1, unless you have a Gonzaga last year situation, for example. And they were shorter than this at this point, even last year. So the favorites, if you're showing up to bet them, just wait. Maybe they get an injury. Maybe they actually start playing worse. No reason to bet any of the favorites right now. The only thing I think you're looking for right now, now that we've identified the really good teams, are the teams who like could be as good as them or close, but haven't shown you that yet. And so there are a few teams that I would consider betting right now, honestly, to win the title because it's the only bet you can make on them. I mean, really, I'd like to just bet on them to be better, but that's not really a bet that's available or framed.
That'd be the best line to see. So, be right. Better, yeah. Yes or no.
Right, yes, no, over 0.5 better. It's like, okay, well, I can't really, how do we measure that? So it's really, to reframe it, I'm betting them to win the national title, but I think, you know, what are prices? Again, just price discussion. I just told you the favorites, their prices are going to stay the same. They're going to all kind of mix and match a little bit, but the value is going to be kind of gone. Anything single digits, you're done. What are prices that are more likely to drop? Who are those teams and do we want to bet on them? There are several that stand out, and I'll just go through a couple of them here real quick for people.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The future. I might get a ton of crap for this one. This is going to be, my right search yet. Do you like me? Yes, no. It's like, do I like these teams? I do, and other people are going to check no. And you might think I'm nuts for some of these opinions, but just like hear me out. Here's what I'm looking for from a team, basically. A team that demonstrates the ability to have balance, so the ability to have a very strong offensive and defensive efficiency. I don't want lopsided, one-sided teams when I'm betting tournament futures ever. The history of the tournament shows us you don't want those teams. So I want a team that's balanced and that I can make a case for playing way better at the end of the season than either they played already or even than they're playing right now. So that's like kind of what I'm going for here. There are three teams, I think, that clearly stand out as fitting that description. And then it's just, do you want to make a bet on them or not? And then what's the entry point for those teams? So I'll tell you the three. I won't kind of belabor the point. The three teams are Michigan, Illinois, and Texas. I think those three teams stand out in terms of the futures market. Not that you should bet on all three to win the title, but just if we're looking at teams where we're trying to answer those following two questions, where's the price most likely to go? Are there contributing factors that could make the team play better in February and especially in March than what we've seen so far? I think for all three, the cases are really easy to make. Texas is different than the other two because Texas' case is almost entirely about their coach. Texas is a senior-laden team. Chris Beard is their coach. Chris Beard is basically the best current NCAA coach in terms of getting the most out of his team. They play a style that is conducive to winning in the NCAA tournament. Emphasis on, well, they're balanced, but emphasis on defense, playing a slow pace, and maximizing possessions, which they're getting better and better at as they play. They have terrible losses for how good they are on their schedule. And that's one of the reasons why they're 20, or I've seen higher than 20 in a bunch of places. And like, you know, Duke 750 and Purdue's 9 and Ohio State's 10, when like Texas has a ton of talent and Texas might have the best coach, but the reason they're 20 is they have these bad losses. When we get to March, like, would you want Chris Beard at 20 if he's like a 4 or a 3? Or would you want him? Really, it should be better than that. You can find better than that in the market. But you want Texas at like a big price? I think you do. I think that's like a team that you should at least consider betting as we go forward here, a price that is likely to drop based on how the team might be playing as we go forward into February and the rest of the year. Illinois and Michigan, you're actually going to make almost an identical case for both. These were two of the best 6 teams last season, basically something like that. Each lost key pieces, but coaches stayed in place. And I think these are two teams. Michigan's a little different, but each team has not played to their rating so far of what I thought they would be this year. And in both cases, it's because of, I mean, a combination of injuries and COVID pauses and a lot of weird stuff going on with the rosters. Illinois has kind of been straight injury stuff. The team that did have like COVID and the flu and all these things that you can see, you watched the Purdue game yesterday, finally starting to get everybody back together. Like, where is their price kind of like the most likely to go, basically? And I'm looking in our chat, 22 at Bet Rivers. Again, like, futures markets look around. Illinois, I think, is an interesting case because, like, if they play to their rating, then they actually probably need to be in that second tier behind, like, Gonzaga and Baylor and Duke, basically. Purdue is 9-1. Anybody watch that game yesterday? Anybody leaving that game thinking Purdue is much better than Illinois is and that Illinois doesn't have room to get better with Carbello just coming back in the lineup? So again, like, just compare the prices, think about it. I think Illinois is kind of an interesting team. Michigan's the one I'm the most excited about because there are 60s in a bunch of places on Michigan, a team that has come nowhere close to playing to their rating so far this year. Some of that might just be it is not as good of a team. They're just not that great. But they also haven't played a lot. They had a ton of time off. And all of their best players basically are still in COVID protocol. Some of them, the reason why I wanted to do this segment today too, some of them may come back tonight. Hunter Dickinson's a game time decision. They play Maryland tonight. If they win and look great tonight and Dickinson's back, see, this is the thing. I just don't want to be late on this. I might be early, but I don't want to be late. When they come back and start playing a little better, 60 is nuts for this team because of how they're rated in the market when they play all of these teams. Like, Michigan's favored against almost everybody when Dickinson's playing. I want that team 60. When they're a favorite their first two tournament games, I don't want 60. Like, really? You know how much easier hedging gets when you have a team like this? I mean, that's like people are trying to find the Dayton or the San Diego State or like the random team that's like the mid-major that's, you know, going to 30-1. That team's going to be a dog when you get to the second round. Like, I'll take Michigan, who's going to be favored over anybody they play in the second round, almost the way the matchups shake out. So there's a chance. Again, there's risk involved, just like with any futures bet. Maybe they just stink. That's possible, right? Like, they could stink. they got, you know, completely smashed in the second half by Illinois when they were really shorthanded. They got crushed by Arizona earlier in the season. It turns out Arizona's actually pretty good, but like, there really isn't a version of this team that can come close to sniffing their rating like from last year or I don't mean they have to meet last year's success. They're not going to do that, but like close to that, like within 6 points of that, they can't really do that. We have no idea. And look how they're being rated right now. They're being rated like garbage. So like, you know what? They're 6.5 against Maryland tonight and they're 60-1. I mean, like, these two things are just incongruent. Their rating, who's going to come back and play, how the team can play going forward, and their current price. All of these things don't make any sense together. So just saying, I think that's probably the one I'm the most interested right now because it's probably the one most likely to move really fast. Because if Dickinson and Johns come back and they start rattling off wins against good teams, which is every team in the Big Ten that they're going to play going forward, this thing starts to get out of control really fast. Their seed starts to climb in the tournament. Like, there's a way this gets really good. Now, there's a way it gets bad, but I think it's just more likely to be good. And again, just probability. What's more likely to happen to their price? So three teams worth considering. I have bet Michigan already. The other two I'm trying to find an entry point on. I don't know if it's now, like right now, maybe it's next week, maybe it's never, but I'm at least looking at them, Texas and Illinois, but Michigan's in the account. I think those are three interesting teams. Just balance. Where's the price most likely to go? Not a certainty, but just, I think, stuff worth considering. Kind of a nice little futures reset day, I feel like, for college and pro basketball.
It's been tougher this year too, because I feel like the NBA and the NFL has kind of gone out of the issues, but college basketball is still having COVID issues. Like, you're still having guys that are in and out for a significant amount of time, and it's making it just that much more difficult. But it also then, you know, I think one of the things you brought up that's important is, you know, you look at a team whose odds are just falling, you know, at the moment, and then you realize, oh, never mind. Once they get their roster full again,
yeah, like, why are they falling? That's what you're getting to.
They're going to climb so quickly. And then, yeah, you want to jump on it when you can actually get a decent price for that. By the way, Baylor's up 30-16 on West Virginia. So this is certainly looking like a game where Baylor's going to
get things.
Do you
follow the market in that game at all? West Virginia took a ton of money in a couple hours before tip-off.
Did they?
It's always interesting to see that. It's always interesting to see the tip-off money come in. And then you're like, ugh. Like, oh boy. Like, that was sort of like game day steam on the Eagles against Tampa, where that got down to 7. And I'm just like,
yeah,
what is
yeah.
happening right now? Like, I don't. And the Eagles got bet every game day, but still, you look at it, you go, what? Like, from who? Like, what's going on here? So, yeah, West Virginia.
Drunk Eagles fans, man. Yeah. The team that I said was lying to us. The Eagles were lying to us, and they absolutely lied to us.
If it turned out there was like a betting syndicate in Pennsylvania, and they were just, all they wanted to do was just move Eagles and Steelers lines, I'd be like, well, this makes a whole lot more sense now. Let me tell you, because the Steelers took bets. Steelers got bets too on Sunday night. Unbelievable.
I was watching that game too with a friend that's an Eagles fan, and it was just so much fun. I twisted the knife.
I mean, like, what are the positives? You know, like, oh, well, we pressured Brady a little bit. It's like, okay,
he's not an obnoxious Eagles fan, but he is an Eagles fan. And you have to twist the knife. And it doesn't matter that I'm a Washington fan, because I can be like, well, guess what? You'll be sitting on the couch just with them in a week anyway. But just to be able to do that and just dig that in was just absolutely priceless to be able to have that. It was unbelievable.
But no, you're absolutely right. Just about, I can't imagine being an Eagles fan and watching that game. I mean, Bill obviously wrecked what Eagles fan actually thought there was a chance. I mean, just the politics of, like, you have to keep Hurts in the game, even though he's injured and you'll never win, even though Minshew gives you a 1% chance of winning at least and Hurts is 0%. So just asinine. But you're right about college basketball. And just to spin this back to, like, kind of the point of the first part of the segment, like the why the price is dropping situation. There are a couple other teams. So I wouldn't bet on these teams, but you could make, there's a case to be made for a few that fit the description you're talking about. Okay, the price is dropping. Why? You know, right? And to use a football analogy, remember that Chiefs-Raiders Sunday night game, like week 10, whatever that was? Like Chiefs closed 2.5 in that game, I think, on the road.
Yeah.
It just, I mean, we had Sam Panayotovich on the show, and I think one thing Sam does a really good job of is he has a good radar or like sense for when these opportunities exist, those types of stuff that we're talking about. Like, okay, why are the Chiefs 2.5? Because they've been terrible. When we get to 2 months from now, what is more likely to be true? That they're worse or that they're playing better? Like, what is more likely to be true in that situation? And college hoops, like, yeah, probably you're probably going to bet on a team that hasn't been good, very, very good so far, but are they more likely to be better or worse? I'll tell you, like, and I asked Patrick about them. Are we sure UCLA is not going to become awesome at some point? Like, we're sure? They haven't played. Like, how can we be sure about this? They beat Villanova and they haven't played.
How many games has UCLA even played at this point? I've lost track of some of these teams. Like, I forgot, maybe,
if I had to guess. Yeah. 13. Michigan's played 14. Yeah.
There's a certain point where we almost forget some of these programs exist with the way this has gone. We're like, you haven't played in like 2 weeks. I forget what you're even like as a team at this point. And it's just made it difficult. It's made it more frustrating for me with college basketball this year. It's a lot harder to have any confidence in certain situations. But I think your formula and the way you've looked at, like, Michigan, for example, in the futures market with them makes sense. And that's kind of the way that we have to approach so much of this is anticipating the next thing.
Right, exactly. And if you're sitting there and you're like, well, these sound risky. I don't want to anticipate. College basketball is always something I tell people, like, you don't have to go crazy on futures. Like, just wait till you actually know the bracket. Like, a lot of those prices are still going to be there. And then you actually know the paths. Like, then you know everything. And the prices aren't going to change a lot for the favorites.
Yeah, he's Ken Barkley. I'm Nick Ashew. You better, you bet. We got a little golf betting coming up next. Woo! On You Better, You Bet on BetQL. Let's do it.
It's You Better, You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts,
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect forever.